It's good to be in the house of the Lord. We are grateful to be here. We welcome those who are listening online, those who are watching on the back porch or maybe in their kitchen, but we are glad to be in the house of the Lord today. I'd like to start out with, it's the first time that we've been back, or this second time here, this right? You guys started last week, so second time back. But, you know, we come to church often with needs. Maybe it's a physical need, emotional need, a spiritual need. And sometimes I just like being, as an alliance, right? God is our healer, right? And I just think every time we have church, we should be able to stand, come to pray, just say, hey, Lord, touch me, please. Touch me, please. So I'd like to give you that opportunity. You say, Pastor, I'm not that way. It's more like, touch. I have this back in here, but I would. So if you would like God to touch you in a special way, please stand. It's not, we're in Jesus' house. We're in God's house. If you'd like a special touch, I'm going to ask Elijah to stand for your Uncle Brian, because we need a healing touch of cancer for him. So you stand for Uncle Brian. Is that okay? Can you do that for me? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come into your house because you have said, where I put my name, you can call on me and I will answer you. And Lord, we're calling on you for lots of different things. And we're calling on you for Brian who has cancer. We're calling on you for our personal needs that right now. Lord, there are body healings that we need. We need a physical touch. And Lord, we are reaching out, just like the woman, reaching out, touching the hem of your garment, saying, please heal me. And Lord, we are asking for that special touch. We know by Isaiah, he said, who wrote, that by the stripes on your back, we are healed. And so, Father, we don't want those stripes to be in vain for us. And we are reaching out as your children, saying, Abba, Father, please have Jesus heal us. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. We have been going through a series. We started out with everybody here on the first part of the series. The first part of the series was the altars in Genesis, and we had Cain and Abel giving up an offering, and we saw that Cain grabbed some vegetables and some fruit, and he might even grab some of the best ones, but he didn't give God the first. And we learned in that message that we don't give God the leftovers, we give him our best. We give him the first fruits, and we also talked a little bit about tithing. A tithe is the first 10%, not the last 10%. And if you give God the first 10%, guess what? You don't have to worry so hard about the last 10%. It's just the way things is. You put God first, he will honor his word. And you say, Pastor, you don't know how many times we come down to the end of the month and I'm trying to figure out how to pay this bill or that bill. But I want you to know, when you've taken care of what God has, he will be faithful to you. So we moved on to that one, and we went to the second one. And I thought I was going to preach on the altar of thanksgiving. And I came in here ready to go on being thankful, because it's Noah, right? Everything was destroyed. The world as Noah knew it was turned upside down. And I'm here like, isn't that COVID? The world as we know it is turned upside down. And he finally gets out of the ark. And then we're like, we're finally meeting in church. We're finally being where we need to be. But God gave us the message, and I hope that you are still building the ark that God told you to build. Because God's saying, hey, there's some arks that I've told these people to build, and they have gone, watching Netflix. They've gone to the television. They've gone someplace else. And God says, when you finish that ark, it is going to be amazing. It's going to be phenomenal. And you're going to offer an offering of thanksgiving and saying, thank you, God, for doing the impossible. Because isn't it impossible to build a 475-foot ark by 75 by 75 feet high by hand with a saw with no cranes? I call that impossible. But Noah and his family did the impossible, and God is asking you to do the impossible things. And that's why you gave up, because you're here like, God, I will never see it. And then some of you, I gave you this word from the Lord, that you will not see your ark done, but you need to finish it so that somebody else can come alongside and finish the ark. And that's some of the hardest arks to build, but God wants you to build it. And when that day, you'll be in heaven and you'll see that ark done, and you'll know that it would not have been finished unless you did it. So then we move to this next altar, the altar of remembrance. I'm calling that. I didn't call it that in the message, but I'm calling it that way now. The altar of remembrance. And that is, we all get distracted in our lives, don't we? We all get moving. We get moving here or there, and troubles come. And in Abraham's, In Abram's life, there was a famine. And he was trying to figure out, how do I feed all my people? I mean, we will learn later that he gets 318 men to go to fight a war. That means he's feeding 300 and some people. I'm feeding 8 kids, you know, 8 in my family. That's tough enough. He's feeding 300. You know, and there's a famine. And instead of going to the altar, he goes, ha, I hear there's food down in Egypt. And he goes down to Egypt. Then he goes, oh, my wife is so beautiful. They're going to kill me and take her. We're going to figure this out. And if you notice, through that whole time, he did not have an altar. And sometimes we get issues in life that runs at us, and life is just coming, and we know better. We've raised in the church. We have, you know, some of you had Christian parents, grandparents, and you know better, but you get distracted and you get moving. And God does an incredible thing. Even in Abram's marriage must have been on the rocks. Think about this, ladies. If your husband said, go to the king's harem and stay there and tell him you're my sister, which is a half-truth. It was his half-sister, you know, and save my skin. She must really loved him. You know, I am telling you, that marriage is on the rocks. But God still watches over him, because the scripture says when he leaves Egypt, he was wealthy. And guess what? So was Lot. And you go, who's Lot? You're just bringing that up. Yes, we're going to be talking about him and Abram today. We're going to walk side by side with him. Lot is Abram's nephew, who been with Abram ever since they left Ur of the Chaldeans. And guess what? Everything that Abram had, Lot got the... It's almost like, it's the way Christian's life should be. God blesses you to spill over to others. He doesn't bless you just to bless you. That's not what God does. And you're going to find out a little bit more as we continue on. So Lot is there, and they both come back very wealthy. And I'm here like, huh. So even when we mess up, God is still watching over us? Uh-huh. It's called grace. Jesus said it a different way. Jesus says it rains on the just and on the unjust. It rains on both. God's grace just overflows. God's grace is not kind of limited where, oh, I only have so much. I'll give him a little. Oh, is that you? Is that me? So you say, Pastor, when are we going to get to the message today? And I'm here like, as I told some of you, I was looking through, and I don't know, I preached this altars in Genesis before, but I missed one, and it's this one. And it's been, oh, you know what? Let's go back to the altar of remembrance. That's this one. Before I move on, oh, good. I didn't move on yet. This last week, I left on Monday to Wisconsin. Now, I want you to hear kind of how crazy God is and how incredible God is. Do you mind if I give a testimony? Okay, is that okay at church? Okay, so my brother-in-law has cancer in his brain, in his abdominal area, in his pelvis, and in his femur. We found out about that 3 weeks ago. So 3 weeks ago, everything's going well, and all of a sudden, Brian's not making sense. He's talking. He's getting confused. What's up? Is it stress? Is it this or is it that? And all of a sudden, we find out that he has 3 tumors in his brain. So on Monday, the next Monday, they have emergency surgery and got out as much as they could and all that kind of stuff. And so I call up my best friend since before kindergarten. So he's been a friend with me for a long time. I said, hey, my brother-in-law has cancer. I need to go. It's a long drive. My wife can't go with me. My kids don't want to go with me. Will you go? I called him Sunday morning saying, we're leaving tomorrow at Monday. He goes, he's supposed to be in Florida. He's supposed to, he has multi-businesses and this or that. He put everything on hold to drive me in a Jag. Yes. And we drove to Wisconsin. And so what I was expecting to do was edge around the sidewalk so some water, would drain off the sidewalk so wherever their patio wasn't flooded when it rained. So that I did that. But they got to talking. So around 11:30 at night, they got the idea, hey, we need a wheelchair ramp. Because Brian, he walks like this. Because of the cancer in his femur, it's really painful. It's hard. Steps are hard. Getting into the shower is impossible. Just really hard. Overnight, they found a wheelchair ramp, catch this, for $450. Not only one wheelchair ramp, but 2, one for the front, one for the back. Next morning, we rented a truck, went and picked it up, put it installed, and all the types of things. That was God doing incredible things, taking care of things. But let me tell you what happened. I'm finally getting to it, the altar of remembrance, right? My sister meets with Jesus usually between 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning because that's when Jesus just wakes her up. And it took her a long time to figure out, you get up and then you toss and turn, toss and turn, toss and turn. And she finally said, I'm going to get up, do devotions, and then go back to bed. And that's what she's been doing. So at 2 o'clock, guess what? I got woken up. And I'm here like, I know where I'm at. I know where my sister's altar is. I'll just borrow hers. And I sit down, and I open up Streams in the Desert. And from Psalms, I think it's 37, it says, feed on the faithfulness of the Lord. And I read it through. The Spirit just came, and guess what? I went right back to bed. And then, I go, and we leave Thursday. I think we left Thursday. We left Wednesday. Wednesday, I go to my best friend's house. Now, my best friend's house is a beautiful place. And on his back porch, it's a huge back porch with cushions, with a table, with chairs, and you're overlooking a valley. He has his nice swimming pool down below. Then even down below that is a pond with a zip line that you can lie down and let go and land in the pond and stuff like that. It's beautiful. And that's my altar of remembrance because when I got laid off, when things were really tough and I was struggling with my call, struggling with others and others' opinions and all those types of things, God met me on that back porch. And then I'm back there again praying for my brother-in-law. I'm back there again saying, Lord, thank you for moving in such powerful ways this week. I couldn't have planned it out any better. The altar of remembrance, going back to where you've heard God speak before. Okay, now we're getting to this week's message. The altar, I'm going to call it altar of transformation. You say, that's interesting. Well, let's open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 13, and we'll read what this has to do. Genesis chapter 13, starting at verse 5. And this is right after the altar of remembrance of when Abram goes back to where he first built an altar and he calls on the name of the Lord. So if you will, stand for the reading of God's word. Genesis chapter 13, starting at verse 5. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, and the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together, and the quarreling arose between Abram's herdsmen and the herdsmen of Lot. The Canaanites and the Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. So Abram said to Lot, let's not have any quarreling between you and me or between your herdsmen and mine, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part companies. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Lot looked up, saw the whole plain of Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt towards Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out towards the east. And the two men parted companies. Abram lived in Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had parted with him, lift up your eyes from where you are. Look to the north, and to the south, and to the east, and to the west. And all the land that you see I will give you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offsprings could be counted. Go, walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. So Abram moved his tent, went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he built an altar to the Lord. Heavenly Father, would you fill me with your spirit? Would you anoint me to proclaim your word? And may your people have ears to hear, eyes that see, and a heart willing to trust you. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Well, the very first thing we see, wouldn't it be so great that God has blessed you so much that you're so big that you are in conflict with your family? Unfortunately, most of our conflicts in our family has nothing to do with blessing. It has everything to do with me, 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 me. It has everything to do with my way or the highway. That's Dad's voice, right? You hear Dad's voice? It's my way or the highway. We have ways of saying things, and I just want you to know, Abram just went through me, 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 right? Hey, I'm hungry. I have to do this. I have to go to Egypt. It's me. Oh, I'm going to die if they find out you're my wife, and they'll kill me so they can marry you. It's me, 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 me. That was Abram, wasn't it? But he got back, and he got back with the Lord, and he called out on the name of the Lord. And Abram is a different man. Now, he's not perfect. He still has a lot of issues. And this is what I find awesome about the scriptures. It tells us like it is. It shows us the real deal. And Abram in this time, right, in this passage that we're looking at looks pretty good, and Lot does not look so hot. And we're going to look at the two because one chooses me, selfishness, right? That's Lot. Now you see Abram says, hey, we're getting, God's blessed us, this or that. And guess what? Abram and Lot's herdsmen were fighting over area, over water, over lots of things. You know what? When family fights, it doesn't stay usually within the family. It's noticed by neighbors, by coworkers, by everybody that is connected with you. Have you ever noticed that? I want you to pay attention to something very interesting that we kind of fly over. Notice in verse 7 at the very end, it says this little phrase. Doesn't seem to make sense. The Canaanites and the Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. Do you know when families fight in the Christian's home, it gives Jesus Christ a bad name? When Christians don't act like Christians, it makes everybody say, I don't want to be like them. Do you see how they're fighting? Do you see what their homes are like? Man, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want anything to do with being a Christian. Do you see? their people are fighting, and guess what? I don't want to be like those Hebrews. Man, they're fighting over wells, and they're brothers. They're family. Look at how they're treating one another. This is terrible. This man. Or maybe it's in there to say, hey, as long as they're fighting, maybe they'll wipe each other out, then we can take over whatever is left over. That's how the world looks at things. The way you live in your family is a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, but they're not in my kitchen. They don't see that. You don't think they see that? What you post on Facebook, do you don't think they see? You see, Abram's looking, and he's not doing it out of, hey, what it looks like. I'm just telling you that when there's family fights and there's family breakdowns and there's family stress, there's other people watching, the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And in our day and age, I call them the pre-Christians. They're watching. Because their homes are the exact same. So what makes a Christian home different? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because Abram is learning to trust God for his provision. Lot hasn't learned that yet. It's interesting that Abram goes, hey, Lot, hey, nephew, I want you to look out here and see all this green land and see this and see the mountains over here. See, hey, we're getting too big. I want you to choose. Now, Abram's older. He has the respect. He could have said, hey, I get the good land. You get that land over there. He could have done that. But you know what? When you put yourself, dad, and I'm preaching at myself, when you put yourself above others, your personal want above your others, guess what? You're going to have tension in your home for forever. You put you first. You deserve it. You work hard. You did this. You did that. I'm preaching at myself, guys. Preaching at moms, too. What Abram said is, hey, you choose. Lot chose selfishness. He goes, hey, man, there's water here. There's green grass here. Man, my animals, my family, my everything is going to be blessed. This is the way to go. You know what I think he should have done? I think he should have said, hey, we cut it down to half. You guys, you can have the north half of the green stuff. I can have the south half and the green stuff. And we both get some rocky land. We both get some mountains. We both get some of this. We both get that. But that's not what he did. And I'll tell you something about selfishness. It begins to take over everything. Because what does the scripture say when you go on? He gives them a choice. Let's flip to Philippians chapter 2, verses, I think around 2 or 3. Philippians, because this is why I'm calling it the altar of transformation, is because Abram seems to have learned a little bit about this. Start with chapter 2, verse 2. Then make my joy complete by being like-minded and have the same love, being one in the spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not after to your own interest, but also after the interest of what? Others. What do you think Abram's doing? If he was looking after his own interests, he would take the best land for himself and do it this way and say, hey, I'm stronger, I'm older, I'm bigger than you, I'm whatever, you're my nephew, you're a generation younger than me, you can have it after I die because I don't have any kids yet, but God's promising me kids, but I don't have kids yet. You can have, but if you want a transformation in your heart, is when you look after other people's interests than yourself. And this is part of why I told you that story in the beginning about David, my best friend. If he was looking after his own interests rather than the interests of others, he would have been on a plane to Orlando, Florida. He would have bought a whole bunch of cars and had some fun down there and flew home. Man, it'd be nice to be near the beach and those types of things and be near family and this or that. But he chose to put my needs, my brother-in-law needs, above himself. He took 3 days off. Right now, you know, if you're a car dealer, how many cars have you sold? How do you get cars when you can't show up at auctions and buy them? You buy them online and you get lemons and you get this or that. But he just took... I called him up and said, hey, boom. He looked. This is about the altar of transformation. The altar of putting others before yourself. The altar of putting God first in your life. Now let's go. So Genesis 13. We see that Lot chooses the best path and those types of things. But notice in verse 12, Abram lived in the land of Canaan while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards Sodom. Anybody have the King James? Anybody have a King James Bible with them? What does the New King James say? Because I think I like the... I like the King James. It's verse 13. Chapter 13. Actually, 13:12. Okay. The King James says, pitch his tent facing Sodom. And when you're selfish and you're moving, all of a sudden, we pitch our tent towards our heart. His tent wasn't pitched toward the altar of the Lord. His tent was pitched towards Sodom. And guess what we learn about Sodom? In the very next verse, it's right there. And the men of Sodom were wicked, were sinning greatly against the Lord. And you know what? Sin looks fun for a time. When you see the parties on television, when you watch television and you see all this happiness and fake happiness, getting drunk, whatever the case may be, when you set your heart towards that, you're walking down the wrong path. Now, I want you to catch this. Abram gets the worst piece of land, gets the worst of everything, and this or that. You would think you'd sit there and grunt, well, what kind of man is that? What? I've done this for him. I've done that for him. Oh, I can't hear. Oh, that's me. I've done this for them. I've done that for them. I. Notice that Abram's not there. He says, okay, you can have that land. Because my source is not my sheep and my goats. My source is not my money or my wealth. My source, I am learning, is the Lord himself. And that will relieve all the stress that you're having right now. Because the stress that you're under right now, the stress of COVID and this or that, it's about trusting your stuff, your mask, your wisdom, your understanding. And it's about trusting God. Does that make sense? Are you catching what God is trying to say to you today? Because the altar of transformation, I love what Jesus does, what God does. He goes, Abraham, come here. You know, when you told Lot to look, he looked up and he only saw that. He only saw the green pastures and the cities, and he goes, I want that. When God comes in, he goes, Abraham, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look that way. I want you to look that way. I want you to look that way. And I want you to look that way. And guess what? It's all yours. All of it. Why? Because God could trust Abraham with it. Why can he trust Abraham with it? Because Abraham knew it wasn't his. He already proved that he could give it away. It doesn't matter. I can give it away. And what God's saying is, I want to bless Christians, but Christians take it and they hold it all to themselves and give it, just hold it all in and hold it all in. And guess what? I can't bless you anymore. Notice what Abram did. Everything was his. And he goes, Lot, you can have the best. You can have whatever. And God says, there's a man that's getting it, that's not putting his interests above others, that I can trust with giving him wealth because he's going to give it away. And it's awesome. Can you imagine what that felt like? Here you are, you just given everything, and you think, oh man, I am going to have to walk extra. I'm going to have to take my sheep farther and farther for water, for this and for that. And the Lord comes in and says, hey, I want you to look. I want you to see. I want you to look all the way around. This is all I'm giving you. And not only that, I want you to go take a stroll in the area that I'm going to give you. I want you to go walk in it. And then it says he moves his tent to Mamre, where the big trees are, and he makes an altar to the Lord, and he gives the Lord praise. Here was a man that was all about me, 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 me. And guess what? Some of the hardest place to show Christ is in your own home. And guess what? It's the loudest witness too. Because when you have a peace and love at home, guess what? Everybody seems to notice it and saying, man, that family's strange. They like each other. How do you get that type of family? Well, moms and dads, brothers and sisters, when you put your brother's needs above your needs, it will make them love you. It's just the way God designed it. It's called sowing and reaping. When you reap me, 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 mine, 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 I want to watch my television shows. I'm preaching at myself. I want this, I want that, I want that. And the Lord says, if you want to be great, you must be the what? Servant of all. So today, I think the Lord wants to show you some things, and there's some conviction here. That's easy. It's you repent and you go back to the altar where you hear God's voice. But I want you to know that Jesus wants to take you for a walk. I don't know where he wants to take you for a walk, but you know where he wants to take you for a walk. Because you've already known the things that he's asking you to give up. And then he's going to want you to walk. He's going to want you to walk in the area of blessing that's going to come. And you say, Pastor, I know the end of this story. He didn't get it. No, but he walked by faith as he had gotten it. And guess what? He has it now because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for your sins and my sins. He has everything. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today. Lord, I just ask that you would transform my heart and my soul. Lord, that you'd get out that root of selfishness, that root of me, and Lord, that you would crucify that on the cross. Crucify my will, my desires, mine. And Lord, I pray that you would put your heart in my heart, that I would look after others' interests as well as my own, look after others' interests rather than my own. Lord God, I pray that you would move in our church today. Lord, that you would help us to have homes that reflect Christ, that will be a witness to Christ, and that people would see Jesus and ask, why are you different? And it's because Jesus transforms our hearts and our minds and our souls. Lord, I pray that you would so move in amongst us. Lord, there's some that you want to take out and say, I have an incredible blessing for you. If you would be willing to submit to me. If you'll be willing to give me everything, I will give you more. Lord, I pray for each one today. I pray for those who are struggling with different things in their lives. I pray that you would walk beside them. Some are in really difficult situations. They don't see a way for a win-win. They just feel trapped. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you would set them free. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.